Do you need help with your journey following Jesus? Has your Bible reading brought up some interesting questions?
I need a prayer request. I've heard pastors talk about you can't get to heaven just with good deeds.
I was just wondering what you guys think. Is there a correlation between the seventh trumpet and Revelations as the last trumpet, or is he talking about some other trumpet?
Finally, a place to get answers. We're ready to take your prayer request and answer your Bible questions. Call in at 303-690-3000. Let's join Calvary Live right now.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Calvary Live, coming to you live from the studios here at Grace FM in Aurora, Colorado. My name is Ed Taylor, taking your calls and your questions, 303-690-3000. That's the number to call. You want to get on the phone early. The phones fill up. They stay full for most of the program until someone hangs up, and then there's a line that opens. So if you want to get on the air, now's the time to do it. Here's the number, 303-690-3000, 303-690-3000. Gets you anywhere in the country. Any phone can call us. We'd love to have you. I'm looking at the phone line right now. It is completely open. Every line is available. 303-690-3000. 303-690-3000. Taking your calls and your questions this afternoon. You can also text us at 720-336-0897. 720-336-0897. That's for texting only. Don't try to call that number or leave a message. We will never get it. Only text messages do we get. And primarily, it's only for prayer requests. So you can send a prayer request there, and you can also try to communicate with the show while we're on. No problem. But it's not a number for urgency or emergencies or anything like that. It's not a monitored phone number. It is a text line that we use to communicate by text primarily for, again, prayer requests. And while the show is on the air, you can use it as well. I want to welcome everyone listening on the Radio by Grace Network, 73 signals from Louisiana to Wyoming to New Mexico, Missouri, Florida, Alabama, Grace FM. You guys are Denver and Colorado Springs, even all up into Cheyenne, Wyoming, down to the border of Pueblo West, Hope FM, Truth FM, Higher Rock Radio, Living Water Radio, and The Way Radio. We want to welcome you. Only on the Grace Networks, Grace FM and Radio by Grace, do you hear this coming to you live. All the other networks, stations, you hear it 1 week delayed. But all that means is call the show while it's on the air. You will get a live host. We'll talk just as if you were on the phone with us. And because that's exactly what it sounds like when you call the show. And then you can tune in next week, same time, hear yourself on the radio. 303-690-3000 is the number. Taking your calls and your questions. Just got the text line set up so I can see anyone that's texting me. So take advantage of that. And if we have time to fill, I see the phone lines are starting to fill up. If we have time or have a need, we'll use those text questions or prayer requests to fill time on the program. Again, the texting number, 720-336-0897. And the phone number, 303-690-3000. 303-690-3000. We are in Bible study tonight here at Calvary, our midweek Bible study. We're not breaking it up for Christmas, so we're going to continue on verse by verse in Genesis, Genesis chapter 46. And I've entitled the Bible study to give you a sneak peek. If God be for us, who can be against us? Such a great New Testament principle lived out in an old covenant relationship in the life of Joseph and his family. And we're going to tackle some really important principles as we have been in this section, one of them being forgiveness. We have to tackle that in the life of Joseph, because without forgiveness, the Bible would read differently. God would have accomplished his will a different way than what we have reserved, because God's will not be thwarted. He would bring forth Messiah. He would bring the children of Israel into the promised land. He would reserve a posterity for the purposes that he had in he had purposed. So really good that the Lord would give us a chance to study the Bible together. You can do that here locally, or you can tune in online. Download our free app. That's the best way. That's the best way to connect with us. Just put my name in your search bar, Ed Taylor. This is on your phone, Android or Apple, or your iPad. Ed Taylor, Calvary Church will pop up. Turn on notifications. You can follow us live. 303-690-3000. We're going to start out here in Colorado with Dawn in Lyons. Welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Well, you know, I'm thinking about my question, and I love your show. You really bless me.
Oh, wonderful.
When I'm driving.
Okay, what's your question?
I've been having some conflict with my sister.
Okay.
And both of us feel like the other one is a bully. But anyway, I heard, and so there's been like some bad blood going on between us for a couple of years, and I just keep praying for God to convict her heart.
Okay.
But at the same time, I keep talking negatively about her.
Okay.
And I've been studying, I've been hearing these things about the courts of heaven, and someone said that if you speak negatively or gossip about someone, that basically you're opening up a court case in heaven against that person and yourself. And I'm wondering, am I causing this conflict to go on even longer because of things that I've said to other people? Anyway, that's my question.
Okay, well, there's a couple things that address. First of all, there's no such thing as courts in heaven, and there's no such thing as opening a case against someone who you're listening to you shouldn't be listening to anymore. It's absolute made-up falsehood.
Okay,
that's number one. But number two, your question's a good one. And are you hindering any progress with your siblings by sinning against them, by talking gossip or behind their back? Yes, you're hindering a lot as it relates to your personal relationship with God. Sin separates still even to this day. And when you participate in sin, you break fellowship. You don't break relationship. You break fellowship with your Heavenly Father. You hinder the work of the Holy Spirit. You grieve the Holy Spirit because any sin is going to bring consequences. And you want to stop it. You're already sensing that. Yeah. That's why you called. You're already sensing that this isn't an effective way to handle a very difficult situation. And I'm really sorry. I mean, these family situations can be some of the hardest and most difficult. And it does bring out, and this is what's so sad, isn't it? It brings out the worst in us. Like, this is our flesh. And we thought we were so much farther along. Like, we thought, like, man, I can't believe it. Am I still the same old unbeliever that I used to be? And the answer is no, you're not the same old unbeliever that you used to be. But man, it's still in you. It's called the flesh. And you want to repent of that sin. You want to have godly sorrow because you've sinned against God. And then you've sinned against your sister. But I also want you to understand this. There are decisions made by your sister, by which you have no control over. You aren't responsible for her actions and her lack of desire or her bitterness or her anything. That is not your responsibility. She can't blame you for it. Nobody can blame you for it. She's a full-grown adult, for goodness sake. She's responsible for her own behavior. But when you find yourself lowering yourself to her level, walking in the flesh, you're going to reap corruption, And that's where the pain is coming from. You want to be in a place where you are right with God. That will make you in a place where you have the most opportunity to be right with your sister when she repents. Hold on.
That's so good.
Yeah. And you know,
I'm
be
so
careful
glad I
with.
Called you.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I just really want to warn you. You're in such a vulnerable place right now that whoever you're listening to is just needs to be avoided. They're teaching you weird things that are messing with your head. There's no such thing as what they're describing. And even though there are difficulties that come from our sin, they're not made up by some false teacher on YouTube or wherever.
Okay. Oh, God. Would you pray for me and my sister, please?
I will. And I also want you to email me after, you know, later today or tomorrow. And I want to send you these packets we have. I want to send you links where you can download it yourself on the topic of forgiveness. It's so important that you learn the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. Okay, forgiveness is 100% under your control. You can either choose to forgive or not forgive. And sometimes that means every day. That means for every new sin. That means for, you know, it's not just like, I forgave her 20 years ago, but she's been sinning against you for 20 years. So you got to forgive her every day. You got to release her from the debt. But reconciliation is not forgiveness. Reconciliation is a coming back together in relationship. But in order for you to come back together in relationship, there has to be repentance on your sister's side. It would be like this. You know, if I slapped you in the face and you're like, Pastor, what's your problem? Oh, here, Jesus said, turn you the other cheek. And so I slap you in the other cheek and you're like, Pastor, what's your problem? Do you know you can step backwards 6 steps and not let me be in arm's length of you? You don't have to be slapped around. Just because Jesus spoke of turning the other cheek doesn't mean that you present yourself the rest of your life to be abused and taken advantage of. I mean, never, not even the first one. If a pastor, that's a dumb illustration, but if a pastor ever did that to you, call the police, right? That's a bad thing. But in illustration, I think you get it. You don't have to subject yourself to the abuse of your sister because you think it's, well, forgiveness means I have to go take it all over again. No, forgiveness just means you've released them from the debt that they owe you. But if they want to continue to do that, it's okay to step back a few steps so that you're not continually hurt.
I love that. That's good. My mom just died.
I'm sorry.
And every time I would say anything, she would just start talking on top of me louder and louder, and I just felt so unseen by her, and I've been taking care of my folks for the past 4 years, and
yeah.
So
well, you
that
know
was
what?
Just so I just started just grabbing her hand, and I was just like, when she'd walk in the room, I would just grab her and be like, I bind the spirit of offense between us, and I loose love, peace, and joy.
You know what happens? That's not going to be well received by your sister. You know that, right?
Right.
Because first of all, there's no need to do that. There's no need to grab her hand and bind any spirits or release any spirits because the Holy Spirit lives in you. And you don't have the kind of authority of the person you've been listening to. That doesn't exist. You're not God. Do you know God, Job, if with that kind of mindset that's being taught on television today or wherever, then Job didn't have to go through what he was going through. He could just bind this devil and just be done with it. But you see, the demons are subject to God, and he's sovereign on what, and we don't even know. And here, let me step back and help you, okay? Because when you describe grabbing her hand and doing that, it's only making things worse. And let me explain to you why. In such a deep loss that you guys are experiencing with the death of your precious mom, grief brings out the best in people, but it also brings out the worst in people. And we have to make room for you to be able to grieve, for your sister to be able to grieve, even if that means you step out of her presence for a while, even if that means you increase your prayer life for her. She may become meaner, and this may be a, and I'm not making any excuses or approving of any bad behavior. I'm just explaining it. This is what you're experiencing. She already is who she is, and then grief can make it even worse, can make it even more challenging. And if I was to walk into the room and my own sister is, casting out demons from me or something, I'm not going to respond favorably to that. It's going to make things worse. What will be better for you, and I can hear it in your voice, and that's one of the reasons why you're calling. You're sensing a little bit where even though you received what you were taught, you're sensing that it wasn't completely accurate. And now the Holy Spirit's helping to comfort you and help you, because what your sister really needs from you is a yielding to God so that the agape love of God will permeate from you. And where you'll make, I mean, if you think about, here's what's going to affect your sister. Not the grabbing of the hand. It's well-intentioned, and I believe you had good intentions, and I believe you wanted peace in the house. I don't doubt that. But peace isn't going to come by applying what you've been taught. This is where peace comes. Jesus said, I give you peace, not like the world gives, but I'm going to give you peace. And listen, this is what will break your sister. And who knows how long it's going to take. But this is what your sister needs to see in her sister. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And you have a very hard situation. And I'm sorry, keep her turned up, would you please, Kevin? Keep her turned up. You have a very hard situation that's only been more complicated with grief. And here's what I say for you, since you're the one that called, that the Lord would help you walk in grief, to heal in grief, to mourn the loss of your mom, and have some freedom to do that. And it sounds like your sister's going to talk over you, and it sounds like your sister is a strong personality, and it sounds like there's a lot of attributes in your sister that could be made really worse by grief. But we're going to have compassion on her too. And again, you don't have to take it. You can step back a few steps. You can set boundaries so that her behavior doesn't affect you as much. But please don't grab her hand and don't pray that way with her. Just, if you're going to grab her hand, tell her how much you love her and how sad you are that she's grieving and how much you miss mom. And it may not even work, but at least you're going to be in the place where you're trusting the Lord, you're abiding in him and giving him room to minister in your family. And it's super hard. It's more than a radio answer, trust me. After my son passed away, some real precious relationships are broken, and it's just so complicated. But I know over time, it's been 10 years now, I learned very early, I need to be right with the Lord, and I'm not responsible for anyone else.
I love that. Okay. I'm so glad I called.
So let me pray for you as you asked, and I'll do that. And then I also want to send you these links on forgiveness and grief, because grief is something, unfortunately, that I know pretty well. God has been very gracious to me. He's helped me. I've read a lot. So I read a lot of bad books I'll never recommend, but I've read a lot of great books that I'm eager to recommend that will just begin the process of healing, sowing seeds of hope into your heart. You know, just helping you be in a position to receive the most grace from the Lord and enjoy it.
Okay, thank you.
Lord, I pray for my sister. It's a very hard situation, but not one that's beyond your help. Your word, and not just your word. I mean, it's as if it was enough. It is enough, but also by experience. Your word says you're the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. So that when we're comforted, God, you'll turn around and use that comfort so we can help others. And right now, my sister, she's in a very hard situation. She's hurting. She's grieving. It's kind of bittersweet being a caretaker for so long. She's got this stuff with her sister. And then she has some of this teaching that's confused her. Even this, she's relieved it sincerely, but it's just not been helpful for her, Lord. And let this phone call just be a minor or a major reset. And even knowing that the enemy will come hard against her and want to confuse her and want her to be, in a place where she's vulnerable more than she already is. But I pray for protection and guarding around her, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, Dawn, I only really have two things to ask from you, okay?
Okay.
Do you think you can handle it after this difficult call, or do you want to call back?
No, I think I can handle it.
Okay. Number one's a very easy one, and that is, do you have my email so you can email me?
No, I do not.
Are you ready to write it down?
I'm like digging for a pen.
Okay. So I want to make sure that you have that so you can email me, and I'll return it as soon as I can with a bunch of links.
Okay. I got it.
ed@edtaylor.org.
Okay.
Okay, and that's don't.com because Santa Claus owns that. There's a Santa Claus named Ed Taylor, and he took my name and my domain. So it has to be .org. But if you want to get a laugh,
okay. You
can go to the other one and see this guy's a professional Santa Claus, very successful. But that's not me. And then number two is a little harder. So I'm glad you're smiling because it's a little bit harder. And this is what I'm asking you to do. Please stop listening to that person or people that are giving you really bad teaching.
Okay.
It's really bad. What you shared with me, and I know it's just tipping the tip of the iceberg, but it's very bad and hasn't been leading you to the solutions that bring you peace, comfort, help, because it's so, not anti-biblical and completely, because God does want to heal and he does want us to not be negative and gossip, but like it's extra biblical and it's just not true, guys. They're making this stuff up. It's not true. It's not in the word. And if you can, and they probably in other ways are encouraging to you or uplifting to you, but in the wrong way. What you need to be uplifted with, especially in this very vulnerable time in your life, is the truth. And the truth's not always fancy, and it's not always exciting, and it's not always what we emotionally, satisfying at the beginning, but it feeds your soul, and it grows you, and at the end, it's all that you're looking for and more.
Yes.
That's going to be a hard choice, because I have a feeling you've been listening a while, and you have an attachment to them, but they are not helping you. You're going to have to trust me on that.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Bye, Dawn.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, what a beautiful beginning to the program. I mean, it reminds me, I didn't come into the program thinking of this, but it reminds me of all the hurt and pain that surrounds Christmas and the holidays. And it reminds me, this morning in our staff meeting, we were going over what's coming up in our church, and we have something called a Blue Christmas service. A Blue Christmas service. Ours is coming up this Sunday night here at Calvary Church. It's a service that's put on by our Grief Share ministry, and it's a service where we can honor the memories of those. It's a service of worship to Jesus Christ, who has overcome sin and death, who's risen from the dead and gives us hope to be reunited with our loved ones that have died in Christ before us. But while we wait, it's a service of memory where you can acknowledge and remember the one or two or three that aren't with us this Christmas. So it's this Sunday night. I want to say it's at 6 p.m., but I don't know exactly because I didn't memorize the time. But I think it's at 6 p.m. You can always call the church here, 303-628-7200. That is for the church. It's called a Blue Christmas service. And if you want to sign up for a daily Devo on the topic of grief, you can go to griefshare.org, and you can sign up for a free Devo that comes in your mailbox every day just to encourage you and strengthen you. If you want more information on either forgiveness or grieving, email me, ed@edtaylor.org, and I'll just ask for what you want, grief, forgiveness, and I will copy. I have it all ready for you, so it's very little extra work for me because I want to serve you. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to grow. But like you know from a radio program, most of the growth that you have is not in the radio program. It's in the effort and energy to study, to show yourself approved, a worker that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I've got a lot of resources that I'm ready to send your way that will help you rightly divide the word of truth on the topic of forgiveness, also on the topic of grief. So I know you guys are waiting. Don't leave Luke and don't leave Carlos. I got two Florida calls coming up, but we're coming up on the tail end of the first half, and I don't want to take your call with a minute left. So we're just going to pick up. Luke, you'll be the first call I take in the in the second half, and Carlos, you'll be right behind, and there's one open line. 303-690-3000. My name is Ed Taylor. I pastor, privilege of pastoring here at Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado. And I've got some folks, Pastor Keegan, Tanya, reminding me, Kevin, the Blue Christmas is this Sunday night at 6 p.m. It's a service set apart specifically for you that are grieving. We want to help you. We did have that extra. Pastor Keegan was able to put on with his team an extra Surviving the Holidays workshop, and over 15 people came. And wasn't that the Lord? The Lord took care of that and used the team to provide some help and support, because there is help and support for you that are grieving, going through family issues, or like me, 10 years drama. Unbelievable. But the Lord's faithful. Sin doesn't get the last word, and neither do other people. God always gets the last word. And that's an encouraging thing to remember, even in your grief. We have no open lines, but you can jot the number down. We're going to get right to the phone lines right after the break. You're listening to Calvary Live. My name is Ed Taylor, and I pastor here at Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado. Calvary Live is a production of Grace FM. We send it out live to the Radio Bite Grace Network and Grace FM, and everyone else gets it 1 week delayed. So wherever you're listening to me, let the Lord encourage you and strengthen you. And we're going to take a quick break here as you hear the music, and we're going to be right back.
Welcome back to Calvary Live. Give us a call at 303-690-3000 or text us at 720-336-0897. Let's join Calvary Live right now.
Hey, welcome back, everyone, to Calvary Live. Grateful that you have chosen to join us. 303-690-3000. Is the number. I'm going right to the phone lines as they've been waiting patiently. We're going to head to South Florida. Luke is on the line. Luke, welcome to the program.
Hello. Hi. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. What can I do for you, brother?
Do I need to turn my radio?
Please turn your radio down. There's a little bit of a delay, so you'll be very confused if you don't.
You know what?
What?
I think I might have messed up then.
Why? You're on the air with me right now. You can talk to me. Talk to me.
So if I turn it down, I won't be able to hear you, I think.
Are you not on the phone with me? How are you talking to me right now? On your phone, right? You called the number?
Right. It's my first time doing this, right? But
that's okay. So you have to... it's a totally different program on the radio right now than what you're talking to me. So if you turn the radio down and stay on the phone, everyone's going to hear it on the radio, but you and I are going to be on a phone call.
Okay, you know what, then? Give me one... I'm driving.
Okay.
And I think it's going through my system. If I turn the radio down, it's going
to... You won't be able to hear your phone?
I won't be... Right, right.
Okay, well, we're going to put you on hold. Go ahead and get that working, and then... I'll try you after the next call, okay? So go ahead and try that while you're driving. That way we keep the show going. So I'm going to put you on hold. All right, let's move to the phone. We're going to stay in Fort Lauderdale. Carlos, Fort Lauderdale, welcome to the program.
Hey, Pastor Ed, how are you?
Hello, I'm doing great.
It's good to hear your voice again.
Yeah, it's great to be on
here all the time.
What's going on?
I hear it all the time, but it's good to talk to you.
Yes.
So I just wanted to ask a couple of questions. I don't think they're very difficult questions. There's something I'm curious about. So I just lost my dog. I lost my dog last year. And I'm just wondering, because I know that dogs have souls, which is the mind, will, and emotions, but I know they don't have spirits. I don't believe they have a spirit. So are they going to be in heaven with us or no?
You know, there are debates on this particular question. And I think it's enough to say that animals are a different classification of creation and that eternity is promised to human beings. And we know that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses humans from all sins. And when it comes to animals, there's a couple things to consider. Number one, animals are very, very special to us on this earth. And we'll have a different existence in eternity that may not require the kind of love and appreciation that we have for animals today, number one. Number two, there is no biblical teaching that prohibits this thought. Like, there's nothing scripturally that says animals won't continue to be some sort of blessing. We know that Jesus rides on a literal horse. We know there are horses in heaven. We know that there is the possibility of God blessing us. We know animals will be on the earth during the millennial kingdom for sure, according to Isaiah. So I think it's the brother that wrote the book Heaven. He makes a strong case for yes. If you want to read his article, his name is, let's see, Kevin got it for me. I can't remember his name right now. Randy Alcorn. Randy Alcorn actually makes a very strong argument for why he believes animals, pets, will be in heaven. But the Bible is not definitive, except that you're right. They are a different classification of creation, and they are not the biggest difference besides this issue of soul. They're not made in the image and likeness of God like humans are.
Right, they don't have a connection to God like we do.
Yep. But it's an interesting thing. Like, I don't believe that the Bible is definitive. Certainly during the millennial period, animals are on the earth. And, you know, the existence on the new heavens and the new earth, there is much to be said about the scriptures, like eternity will be involved living on a new earth, having a tremendous amount of freedom. So there's nothing prohibiting it, but there's also nothing saying it definitively.
I ask because, you know, I would love to see my little dog again, Michael Kerta again.
I bet you, so let me just say, I haven't had a pet for a long time. My first pet was actually here in Colorado. It was a mutt by the name of Molly. We had a couple missionaries going to Turkey. They couldn't take their dog with them, so we brought that dog home. That dog didn't do much, but man, did we love her. She was such a great dog. She didn't return. She didn't bring my slippers to the door. She didn't fetch a ball,
right,
but she brought a lot of joy to our family. And we didn't know. Right. We didn't know. And I would have to say this was probably one of the first significant losses I ever experienced One of the first significant losses was the death of Molly. We didn't know how much we loved that dog until she died. Like, we're weeping and crying, and the kids are going through it, and I'm going through it. My wife is even emotional over this dog, and we really enjoyed her and missed her. It's a good connection, such a great gift that God has given to us, and we're to be good to animals.
I had her for 15 years, and I got her for my wife when we first got married, so that she could not be alone while I was going to school. And so I gave her to her, but she was our baby.
Yes.
Not baby, literally.
Pretty hairy baby.
Pretty hairy baby. She was our
shared
joy. She was our joy. Yeah.
Yep.
And we never had kids, so. She was just a good companion to have.
Yes, an outlet for love. You know, we were made for that.
Yeah, and when she passed, we actually I brought the whole family, my wife's sisters, my wife's parents, and a friend of the family, to the room where they were going to do it, and we had this. Beautiful moment where it was just like really, it was a really nice moment. Even the vet was crying because we all said some words about for her. You know, like,
good for you.
Anyway, so my second question is this: so I know that God will wipe away every tear when we're in heaven. I'm just wondering if when we're in heaven, will we be sad for those family members who didn't make it to heaven?
That's a great question, and another one that's debatable. There's a couple thoughts. Let's think this through. Number one, when we die and shed our earthly bodies, we are absent from the body. We're present with the Lord. We don't lose knowledge. We gain it. So we know who we are. We know our family. I forget what pastor said it this way, but we don't become dumber after death. We become smarter. So there will be that knowledge. And we know we have evidence of that when Jesus is describing the compartments in Hades. Remember Abraham's bosom in torments?
Yeah.
Even the man in torments knew that he had brothers. He knew that his brothers were unbelievers, and he knew that if his brothers did not get saved, that they would die that way in the same condition that he's in. So there is a sense where we're going to have that knowledge. However, will we be able to have interaction, and will we have current, like live knowledge of all the events that are ongoing on earth? I tend to believe no. I believe our new existence includes this overwhelming pain of watching our family going through horrific grief and sorrow. But I think I don't know if it was Randy Alcorn or someone else that actually makes an argument that there's a great cloud of witnesses and that's a description of people watching us. I don't believe so. I think there's a lot of reasons why we could have tears in heaven. It could be the final, you know, it could be the final cleansing of things that did exist on earth. Because in heaven, there's no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, because the older things have passed away, according to Revelation 21. So I don't think there's a constant, continual seeing and observing and following along of what's happening on earth the way that we experience it now. No.
What I actually meant was those who already passed and didn't make it to heaven and are in torment.
I don't believe they have an ongoing knowledge. I don't think they have more than anyone in heaven does, no. So the answer would be both for both of them, be true for both of them.
Okay.
For example, one of the points I think we can make biblically is that when the rich man cries out for his brothers to send someone to them, they could have already had somebody sent to them. They could have already had an experience that he didn't know about.
Yes. That's true.
The Bible doesn't say, but there's time involved that the answer from Abraham is that, hey, they already have enough witness. But time, that time involved, the rich man doesn't know. He doesn't make mention of, hey, I've been here all this time and I don't know what happened to my brothers and nobody's gone to them yet. He doesn't have real time information. He has the information he died with.
Right. Of course. Of course. Okay. All right. Thank you, Pastor.
Thanks, bro. God bless you, man.
God bless you too. Thank
Bye-bye. 303-690-3000 is the number, 303-690-3000. We're heading over to Pennsylvania. Carol, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Pastor Ed. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I'm a first-time caller. I started listening to your program about 6 months ago, and I'm turning on 5:30 in the morning when I'm leaving for work, and you have been such an inspiration to me.
Oh, wonderful.
And I really mean that. And I'm calling to ask you to say a prayer for my family to get closure to my daughter's death.
Oh.
And her life was taken about January of 2023.
Okay.
And I believe that we know that she was murdered, and they haven't arrested the person yet that did this to her. We know who did it, so we don't know what's taken them so long or to realize what happened. But I came to realize something. You know, I never called my daughter more than once a week, and it was at night. For some reason, the day she passed away, January 16th, I don't know what it was. I picked the phone up and I just called her that morning.
Oh, what a gift.
And I don't know what it was. I never did that. I never called her in the morning. And I spoke to her. And the last thing I kept on saying to her, and I don't know what me, I says, you know, Jennifer, please be careful, please. Mm. And she said, I always am, Mom.
Good.
I love you.
Yes.
And I'm sorry.
That's a powerful story. It's okay. It's okay
and
to cry.
For us to get closure to her death.
I can't.
And I've been so angry. And,
yeah.
And I don't want to be angry.
I believe you. Let me share a couple things with you if it's okay before I pray. Are you okay with that?
Yes.
So the morning that my son passed away, the morning that my son collapsed and went into a coma, so we never got to talk to him again. I felt this burden. I was away with a couple of pastors and our wives. We had this little getaway, and I woke up with this burden, and I sent my son a text that said, I love you, and then I sent his former wife a text that said, I love you, and I even sent my brand new grandson, who I was still able to be a part of his life, even though he was only a couple months old, I sent him a text so Daddy could read it to him. I love you. And it was just, I do text a lot, and I send stuff all the time, but that was something special that morning, that was the final communication that I had given to my son, to his former wife, and to my grandson. And I have it saved, I saved it. I have it in my files, along with all kinds of stuff, just to remind me. And what a great gift you got to talk to her. Man, that's so special. I'm really sorry for the tragedy and the sin that took your daughter. And all these different emotional responses, they're normal. I know you don't want them, and they're going to go away over time through forgiveness, through the comfort of the Holy Spirit. You never get over it. And in some relations, you'll never have closure, but I do want to pray for the closure that I hear you say is that, God, bring this man to justice. Bring this perpetrator to justice. Let it be known that the man that did this or the person that did this would have to answer in a court of law for the decisions he made to end a life. And Father, that's our prayer. Our desire is to see the person responsible for this death be brought to justice. that there would be closure in relationship to this difficult situation, one that is bringing great hardship to this family, and just bringing, making something that's already so hard, making it harder. And I know that there are many listening in. I've met a few even here in the church that have the same story. And it's even through the justice system is made even harder in many ways. So we just cast our cares upon you, and we trust you with the outcome, God. And I pray for my sister as she just verbalizes it, that as she, the Bible, your word says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And as my sister testifies of the pain that she has and testifies of some of the decisions she's been making that she doesn't even want to make, she testifies of the desire to see justice, Lord, that you would give her victory and that you would help her overcome and walk in an overcoming way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, I appreciate that. You know, I was so angry. Sometimes I scream to God, why her? You know, and then, you know how many times, like my son passed away many years ago also, but he passed away from the physical illness.
Yes.
But, you know, and then when my daughter passed away, I said, why? You know, I don't understand it. So, no matter how strong my faith could ever be, I know you're not supposed to question God, but I just wanted to know why. Why did it happen? Why? Why did she go to Atlanta that week? Why did, you know, and we just don't have any closure. And I think if I had a little bit of closure, I would be just a little bit better. And until we get closure, that anger is still in my heart. And I don't know if that's not my faith producing, faith in God. I don't know what it is. I can't even explain it.
Well, can I help you with it?
Yes, please.
You know, part of what you're feeling is a natural response to a very unnatural situation. And anger is not always sinful. To be angry at murder, to be angry at sin, to be angry at the world that we're living in, it's not always sin. I know that I'm sure part of this anger is probably resulted in sin. But even so, God says, just come to me. Just come. You can come angry. You can come hurt. God doesn't approve of us. You know, he doesn't approve of us sinning ever. But he also recognizes, listen to what this is one of those verses that has helped me over the years. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation because it's a better version on this verse. It says this: the Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him, for he knows how weak we are, and he remembers that we're just dust. And while we may not have experienced like deep compassion or anything from our fathers on earth, it is something that God is able to show us in his relationship with us. And another thing that's leading to frustration, and I want you to pray and think about this, because I'm not saying I know. I'm not saying I know or speaking for you, but from experience and from the scriptures, this I do know. When we ask why questions, they always frustrate us. They're always frustrating because even if right now we, you know, heaven seems silent and we don't know the answer to why. And, you know, why did she go to Atlanta? Why did the, and I can ask, I have a series of those why questions with my son as well. And they don't lead to anything helpful because they're unanswerable. They can't be answered. We don't know. We wish it was different and we just, they don't know. But let me add this. Even if God answered that question and told us exactly why, we would still be hurting. It would still be. And then the question would be, well, what's your problem, God? I can't believe it. Like, now that you've explained it to me, I don't agree with you and I don't like, and it just, those questions are hard to ask. And so here's what I suggest you do. I'm going to give you some homework if you want. It'll help your soul. Okay.
Okay. Yes.
I want you to get a piece of paper out. Not right now, but when you're ready. This will be a day when you're ready. And I just want you to spend some time and write down all your why questions. Just write them all down. With all the ones you've been asking, all the ones that you can think about, just write them all down.
Okay.
Put your hand on that paper and say, God, I just give you all these why questions. You know my heart. I'm so, and you'll probably be crying and it'll probably be a very emotional thing. Fold that piece of paper up, put it in an envelope, and just file it away somewhere.
Okay.
And symbolically, you're just trusting God with the answers, that he knows what you can't see and he knows what you want to know. And he knows, you're trusting him. And then begin to ask questions about who, God, who are you? And I have faith in you, God. And you begin to look at not who, not why, but who and what. God, what do you want me to learn from this? What do you want me to do? You can ask how questions, God. How do you want me to respond? Because there are answers to those questions. And we may not be happy with them, but I have found that, here's the thing, I found that the why questions almost always frustrate us. And it's just better that we ask different questions, because those will draw us closer to God. And we need to be closer to God in these hard times.
Oh, yes, I believe that. I'm sorry that's your son, Pastor.
I know, it stinks. What was your daughter's name? What's her name?
Jennifer.
Tell me something about Jennifer. What could we enjoy about what you enjoyed in Jennifer's life?
Well, she was a loving mother.
Yes. How many kids did she have?
A loving wife, one son.
Okay.
22 years old.
All right.
And I never realized, you know, there were times when, you know, I didn't have time to talk to her.
Okay.
Or I was busy. And I don't know if it's the guilt.
There is.
Have more time with her.
There is guilt. That is a part of guilt. That's a real feeling. And I'm sure there were times that you could have talked to her that you didn't. But there are also times you talked to her and you made time for her. And, you know, what happens is we only think the worst. We beat ourselves up because somehow we believe if we can punish ourselves. I mean, for me, I almost had a nervous breakdown, for goodness sake. Like, I was just so distraught. I didn't know how to handle the... I'm a pastor, for goodness sake, and I didn't know how to handle these emotions. And you know, the Lord is, he's so much more loving and faithful toward us than we are to ourselves sometimes. And you can trust him. You could have talked to her more, for sure. But you did talk to her, and you had great conversations with her.
She was like, she worked so hard to give her son everything.
Mm.
And she never thought about herself, not once.
Mm.
And I just wish I had one more day with her.
Yeah, don't we all? And now with our phone, you know, all these pictures pop up and all these memories pop up. And I've learned now just to be happy, you know, because I can look back and think, man, because my son was born to us too, as unbelievers. And, you know, I was not the best dad in those early days. Even as a believer, I was so legalistic. And I just had to process those emotions. And even if you need to sit down with someone and a good trusted counselor, a good Christian counselor, just to process that. Because, you know, we all could do better. I have two children that are alive, and I could have done better with them. But, you know, what lubricates all the difficulties with our families is the love of God. And he's been so good. And I'm sure you were a great mom. Not a perfect mom. I could never say that. But a great mom. If your daughter had these kind of characteristics, you helped teach her that. They're reflections of you and your love. And don't beat yourself up because you weren't a perfect parent, because none of us are.
You know, just sometimes, you know, I think sometimes I say, well, I wish I could just see her. And I know I can't right now. And, you know, and there's another one more quick question.
Okay.
Somebody said to me the other day, you know, when you go to heaven, everybody's young again. And I didn't understand that. I said, young again, maybe I'm not reading the Bible right. I don't know. Is that true, Pastor, that we're young again?
Yeah, you know, the Bible doesn't really say. That's kind of a question that's been debated for many years. Many people believe that we have this sense of all the same age, like the age of Adam and Eve. But the Bible doesn't say, like, the Bible doesn't say even with the rich man that he somehow became younger or older. So I tend to think that whatever our new bodies are, our relationships in heaven, like, and I want you to be assured of this. I can tell, I'm going to say this definitively because I know this. You will see your daughter again in Christ.
I can't wait.
And whatever age she is, whatever it's like, it's going to be great. But in Christ, those that have died in Christ before us, we will see them again. And whatever age it is, whatever our existence, we're not going to have these kind of questions in heaven, you know. We're just going to enjoy the presence of the Lord and the joy of being delivered from sin, and it's going to be something special. But now, like, we mourn and grieve, but we don't mourn and grieve like those who have no hope. We have hope in Christ.
Yes, and you know what, you seem, you know, you help so many people. I listen to you all the time, and your gift, you help so many people, and it's amazing, you know. I mean, you put the peace of mind to them when you talk to them and explain to them what really, you know, Christ is about, and you're amazing. That's what I have to say. You're just amazing.
Well, sometimes God uses even the foolish things to confound the wise, and, you know, I desire to get all of us to the presence of Jesus. He's our hope and he's our source. And I've experienced a few things with grief. I have some ongoing things right now that are unresolved and just worse and bad and just wrong. You know, you look at a situation with your daughter and this is just wrong. And I can say that out loud. It's just wrong and unjust. And even so, I know my God is faithful and he's reliable. And one day, we'll be able to stand before God. And when we know what he knows, we'll believe what he believes and we'll have peace. And that's how it is now. That's why it's so important to be in the Word. Because when I see it from God's perspective, then I know I can just have comfort that in the good times, he's faithful. And in the hard times, he's faithful.
Yes, I don't know how to thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to me. I feel better.
You're welcome. I'm so privileged to be able to do that. And It's a joy to walk the journey with you. And one day, very soon, we're going to enjoy the presence of the Lord and so many that have gone before us. Okay, I got to go, sister. Bye-bye. Hey, I'm sorry for the brother in Florida. Call back tomorrow. I know you got the phone figured out and everything, but I'm sorry. This call needed my attention. Lord bless you guys. We'll see you tonight.
You've been listening to Calvary Live. Tune in next time for prayer and God's Word.